In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20, we read this call. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me. This message has gone out from the beginning of time. And it will go out unto the end of time. God says, in the midst of an evil generation, look unto me. Salvation is of the Lord. He is a just God and a Saviour. And he has declared his salvation. And he has set his Son, the Saviour, before the gaze of this world, throughout all time. In his gospel, he says unto all, behold my Son, behold the man, behold thy God. There is none without excuse. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth. And there are a few places in the scriptures where God sets forth his Son so plainly and so vividly, as in the 22nd Psalm. In Psalm 22, David writes in a glorious spirit of prophecy of the suffering and the travail of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we see the cries of Christ upon the cross. How we see his cry unto his God. How we see his sonship. His cry unto the Father. How we see the depths of his sufferings that cannot be measured, that cannot be weighed, that cannot naturally be comprehended. And how we see the great victory and the great hope which is rewarded under his faith. David writes, to the chief musician upon Ajaleph Shehar, a psalm of David. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a raven in and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither have he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Verse 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. All the ends of the world. Now we read from Isaiah 45. Well, we read the same phrase. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And here we see the Saviour upon the cross, crucified for sinners, wading through the rivers of wrath, drinking the cup of God's wrath to the dregs, feeling the fire of judgment, despised and rejected, a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people, hated by all, forsaken of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we see the Saviour in his anguish, in his torment, in his suffering, entering the darkness. And here, as in Isaiah 45, we read as a consequence the cry of victory, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee because of this man who cried and who suffered. This man who was forsaken and hated. Because of this man who gave everything that those who despised him, his people, should be saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else. Who was this man crucified in the darkness? Who was this man who cries out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. Title of the psalm reads, to the chief musician upon Ajaleph Shahar, a psalm of David. Again, as with a number of these titles, as well as referring to the chief musician, the praise of the people being lifted to he who is described as the chief musician, the Lord, there is this reference to the instrumentation. Or in reality, in the Hebrew, the phrase has the meaning of the hind of the morning. And it is often thought that it is allegorical of the one who is the subject of the psalm. Here the Saviour, as it were, enters the darkness of night to deliver his people from darkness. After which, early in the morning, he arose from the grave victorious, like a hind in the morning, like the hind that leaps forth full of life and vigour, the hind of the morning. But that life could not come except he should first die. He must first die, because those for whom he came to suffer were dead. Because those whom he loved had already rebelled, had already sinned, and were already dead in sins and trespasses as a consequence of their rebellion against their Maker. He came into this world of darkness, this world of sin, this world of death, to bring life to those in the darkness, to make those who were once dead to live again, to make those who had rejected their Maker, their Creator, live, to deliver them from their sins. Isaiah 45 says in verse 2, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect's sake, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Let the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work he have no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labour of Egypt, and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speaketh righteousness. I declare things that are right. This Lord, this Creator, this Maker of heaven and earth, this Creator of good and evil, of darkness and light, this Creator of all things and all people, this one before whom we stand, sent forth his Son into the darkness of this world, into the midst of our rebellion, to deliver his people from their sins. He sent forth his Son unto those who were wretched, those who were hateful, those who were wicked, those who didn't care, those who despised, those who would take his Son and mock him and scoff him and cast him out and rise up with one voice, crucify him. He sent his Son unto people like you and I, who when he came, we received him not. Who when he came unto us, we said, away with this man, we will not bow down and worship. Who when he came unto us, we laughed and scoffed. Who when he came unto us, we cried out in our hearts. You cried out in your heart, crucify him, crucify him. He said, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. All laugh at him. All have said, crucify him. You and I included. And yet that is the people. We are the sort of people under whom God sent his Son. And he sent his Son unto such a hateful generation because he loved a people. And because he would save that people. Despite all that they are. All that they have said. All that they have done. Despite their hatred. Despite their scorn. Despite their rebellion. He loved them. And he loves them. And he delivered them. And through his gospel, he delivers them today. But it cost him. It cost him. Oh, child of God, if you know this salvation, if you have looked unto him and been saved, if you know this salvation, here in this psalm you see the price of it. Here in this psalm you see what it cost him. Salvation comes at a price. Christ loves a people. He loved a people. He will love them to the end. And that love was so great that he was willing to pay this price. But their salvation, child of God, your salvation comes at a price. And here's the price. Here's what it cost him in this psalm. Here's what he endured. Here's what he suffered. It's impossible, if you love the Lord, to read this psalm without being moved by the pain and the emotion and the travail in which, through which the Lord passed. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Though this psalm is full of suffering, it's the place where heaven and earth meet. It is the place from whence salvation springs. It is the place of greatest darkness, from which the greatest light shines forth. In the psalm we see the death of Jesus Christ. But through his death, we see the life, the resurrection of him and all his people. Look unto me and be ye saved. Is the meeting place of heaven and earth. The cross. The Saviour upon the cross. Here God meets with men through his mediator. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Here all the ends of the world meet with eternity. Here time ends. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Here is where everything comes to its conclusion. Nothing else matters. There is one God. One God before whom you and I must stand. And here he is. All time will reach its conclusion here. There is nothing in this world that matters beyond this point. And God will have his gospel and the knowledge of his Son go forth to all the ends of the world, to the four corners of the earth, to every tribe, kindred and tongue, to all peoples, to say before a world that shuts its ears and shuts its eyes and shuts its mind and does not care and hates and despises, to say before them all, this is my Son, and here is salvation, and here is what it cost him. Here is the price he paid to deliver my people from their sins. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. He's declared his power, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Don't say you didn't know. Don't say you never heard. Don't say you weren't aware of how important these things are. When the day comes that you stand before your Maker, don't say, well, it wasn't my fault. I didn't know. Or I didn't know how serious it was. And don't say, well, it wasn't my fault I sinned. I was born that way. I couldn't help it. Don't say unto your Maker, as Isaiah 45 hints, don't say, why hast thou made me thus? And put the blame on him. When he, throughout all time and history, through his gospel, has made known his power, has made bare his holy arm, and has said plainly, here's my Son, whom I give as a sacrifice for sinners. His salvation, his deliverance, here is hope. If you choose to shut your ears, if you choose to go another way, and if the fruit of that choice is your destruction in eternity to come, it will be your doing. Ah, you say, but doesn't God declare in his gospel his electing grace, except he chooses me, what can I do? Yes, he does. But you still choose to hate him. And you cannot say you never heard. You still go with the will of your own heart. And by nature your will is set against him. The Lord have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Psalm 98:3, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. As Isaiah 45 says, where we've just read, he hasn't done these things in secret. He hasn't kept them in the darkness. He hasn't hidden them from the world. He's preached and declared this message throughout the generations, throughout the world, unto all nations. And the nations shut their ears. And if you go to your grave not knowing Jesus Christ, it's because you shut your ears. It's because you're shutting your ears today. It's because you shut your ears every day. But God has spoken, and God has said, behold my Son. He's taken him and lifted him up to your gaze. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Hence in Romans, Paul sent forth with the gospel the power of God unto salvation in declaring that gospel and speaking of Israel of old, can say in quoting Isaiah, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. This message has gone forth, and Israel shut its ears." And Israel, who had heard generation upon generation upon generation, they'd had God meet with them. They had God speak unto them. They'd had God give them the law and the priesthood and the oracles of God and the scripture. God went in the midst of that people more than any other nation. They were his people. He blessed them. And yet when he sent his son unto them, as the promise fulfilled, as the fulfillment of all the prophecies which he had granted unto them, he'd sent them the prophets, he'd said the saviors to come, he said the messiahs to come, and then came the day when the fulfillment of time was brought forth and Messiah came, Christ came unto Israel, and Israel received him not. Have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went unto all the earth and their words unto the end of the world. You see, all the world knows. They know that Christ was crucified. This was not hidden. It was not done in a corner. And it's not been hidden from you or I. That's John. In chapter 12, verse 31 records, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And Christ says, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Because it's this event, this point in time and eternity, this meeting place of time and eternity, this man who cries through this psalm, it's this one who is set forth as the saviour of the world. "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now is the judgment of this world." When he died. When he died. "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." Oh, what we see in this psalm. What a picture of what Christ waited for him. "Well, I say unto you, all the ends of the world. I say unto you, all the ends of the earth. Look. Look. Hear the words of the psalm. See the Saviour crucified. Behold. I say unto you, Israel. Behold your God. Behold the man. Behold the Son of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold." The psalm really follows three parts. In the first 10 verses, in Jesus' cries, we see his cries under his God, under his Father. They're cries of a son to the Father. They show forth his relationship to God. This one who speaks, David speaks, but he speaks in prophecy of Christ. They know God. There's a union, there's a relationship. There's a covenant relationship. Here is the Son of the Covenant, the one who was in the covenant with God, who covenanted with his Father to come as a Saviour, to offer up himself for his people. Here he is, in that covenant, crying to his Father, that covenant into which he'd entered in eternity past, was one in which he promised to endure this suffering to deliver that people whom God had given unto him. But here he is as he enters this suffering and he cries to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. God could not hear at that hour. He must judge. He must judge every sin. He laid upon his own Son the sins of all his people. He made him to be sin. He must slay him. He could not deliver him at that point. He could not spare him. How this must have pained the Father as much as it pained the Son. How God the Father must have felt pain to bruise his own Son. How he'd have longed to have removed the suffering. How he'd have longed to come to his help. How the people that look on scoff and laugh and say he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They see him dying and they see his God leaving him there. And they use this as a reason to mock and disbelieve. But in fact, the fact that God the Father left the Son there is proof of what the Son had said, is proof that he's the Saviour of his people, is proof that he was delivering them. His Father wasn't stopping short, and he wasn't stopping short. He was enduring the judgment to the bitter end. He must be forsaken. He must be judged. He was made to be sin. He bore the sins of his own people in his own body on the tree. God must judge him as the sinner. God must pour out his wrath, his eternity of wrath upon his own Son. He could not spare one drop. Christ must drink that cup to the very dregs. But oh, what it cost him. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Thy people in the past cried and thou spared them. But here I'm not spared. He who spared not his own Son, but gave him up, delivered him up for us all. He was not spared. He wasn't just brought to the point of agony, the brought of anguish. And then God stepped in and said, well, enough's enough. God took him through to the bitter end. He was not spared. He died. He felt the sword cut right through him. He felt the fires consume him. He was not spared. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. They mock, they scoff, but he knows, his God. Thou art he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me hope. When I was upon my mother's breast, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Oh, what a place to be. Oh, what a depth he had to sink to. Oh, what he had to endure. His own Father forsook him, judged him, turned his back. He must die. He must. He must complete the work. He must finish the work. He must accomplish salvation. He could not go 99% of the way and stop short. He must die. The next 10 verses or so, verse 11 through to 21, show, as it were, the Saviour entering into the darkness. Here he begins in the earlier part of the psalm, speaking under his God. We see the relationship, the Son of God crying out under his Father. But here he is in the next, further the psalm, describing the pain, describing what he must endure. He cries from the peril, from the danger, from the agony. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. For strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, how much of this psalm we see quoted and we see fulfilled in the New Testament to the letter. We hear Christ upon the cross uttering the very words that David wrote here. We see the people piercing his hands and his feet. We hear the scorn and the mockery of the people quoting the very words of his opponents in this psalm. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And they did, in fulfillment of these very words. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast hurt me from the horns of the unicorn. Oh, what he faced. Oh, the opponents. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan. They gaped. They roar like a lion. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. He was devoured. The sword went right through him. The sword of justice went right through him. Dogs tried to rip him to pieces. The lion, the opponent, the adversary, Satan that goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, the lion thought he had him. He was thrust through with the horn of the unicorn. He suffered. He died. He was alone. He was alone in the darkness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But from verse 22 to the end, we see, as in many of the Psalms, we see the Saviour rise up in hope. As he passes through the darkness, as he sees the accomplishment of all that he came to achieve, as he sees the hope before him, as he sees the light of morning approaching, he rises up in faith and hope and trust and praises his God. We see the foretaste of deliverance from his lips. We see the faith of Jesus Christ. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Well, how could he when he's faced, when he's dying? Because he knows he will live. Because he knows he will rise again with the brethren. Because he knows he does this for a great company. He's bearing the sins of his people. He's bearing the sins of the congregation. He's delivering Israel. He's bringing that people forth through the rivers of death. They're going to come out the other side with him. His bride is going to be with him. He's going to see her face. He's going to see her cleansed in righteousness. He's going to be wed with her. He's going to be with this congregation. He knows the day's approaching. He knows the price is being paid. He knows the darkness will ebb away. He knows the light of morning will shine forth. He knows he is accomplishing salvation. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Do you feel afflicted? He was afflicted. Do you suffer? He suffered. Are you in pain? He was in pain. Are you alone? He was alone. Do you travail? He travailed. Do you sorrow? He sorrowed. And he can say out of his travail and his sorrow in encouragement to all that suffer with him and for him and because of him, he have not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He saves. God saves. He saves me and he'll save you. We are saved. Behold the salvation of the Lord. Neither have he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Your heart shall live forever. O you with hearts full of sin. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked by nature. It speaks evil continually. Your heart is the cause of judgment. Your wicked heart is the cause of his death. But he can say unto his people, your heart shall live forever, because he will give you a new heart. He will give his people righteousness. He will give his people life. With him they shall live again. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee because of this man upon the tree. Because of Jesus. For the kingdom is the Lord's. The kingdom is the Lord's, because this is the King who is crucified. The King of kings who suffered. He's a king and he'll lead his people forth into a kingdom. He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he have done this. Do you know his righteousness? The righteousness he brought in upon the cross. The righteousness of God which judged him because of the sin of his people. Was he judged for your sin? Did he die for your iniquity? Did he bring in righteousness for you? As a result, have you been born again of God the Spirit? Has God taken you out of darkness and out of death and spoken by the Spirit of God unto you his gospel, his power? Has he made known his holy arm? Has he bared his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations? Has he bared it before you? Has he brought his gospel in power? Has he said unto your soul, live? And have you who are once dead lived? And living, have you been born and beheld your Saviour crucified for you? All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. Oh, don't remember on the last day when it's too late. Don't remember on that day of wrath and judgment when Christ returns in power to judge this world. Don't remember then that he is the one who was slain, who you despised, when it's too late. But by God's grace, may you remember, may you be brought to remember his salvation, his death, his suffering. Oh, may God take you all the ends of the world. May he take you to this place where the man upon the tree cried out unto his God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And may you, by his grace, know that he was forsaken if you are his because of your sin and your iniquity and your hatred, but that he suffered because of his great love for sinners such as you and such as I. He suffered because he loved his people. He loved them and gave himself for them. Did he love you? Did he give himself for you? Was he forsaken for you? Have you remembered? Have you turned unto the Lord? Amen.